Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman.
And in just a short time, Lois and I will be flying off to CES, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Between the two of us, we've gone to 75 of these. I think, Lois, you've knocked in about 50 CESs. I've done at least 25 over the past 25 years. So these little feet, between your little feet and my little feet, we've walked miles and miles and miles of CES aisles, correct?
That's absolutely correct. This is my 51st year going to CES. And a lot of people may think I'm boasting about it. It's not really boasting. It's really more about how did I get here? I mean, you know, which is not the topic. I mean, it's more about I made it this far and all the people that didn't make it. And I'm always feeling bad about, you know, those that passed on or those that just went to other industries. So that's the wow factor. I don't really mean to boast about it. It's just that, yes, this body, I believe, who's the only one, even though there are two other people that claim they've done it, I don't know if they'll be there this year, then I'll definitely be the only one that has been to every CES. So it's pretty amazing. But anyway, we're about to go to the largest CES ever.
And it's every year. I mean, people ask me around this time of year before I go, what's it like? Next year I want to go. Can I go? Well, first of all, people should know it's not open to the general public. So just because you want to go, you can't go. But if you could go, you should know that, in my opinion, no matter how hard you try, you can maybe at best see about 20% of the whole thing. There's only so many hours in the day. Your feet can only walk so fast, so far, that you can – I mean, I generally get between 25 and 30,000 steps a day. It's like a Fitbit dream. And it's absolutely impossible to see the whole thing. I mean, unless, again, you're the pro. I only have 25 years at this. What do you think? Are you able to see the whole thing?
No, I never see the whole thing. But what I try to do is do quality rather than quantity. I spend hours. I mean, people don't realize it and people don't believe it. And I don't think many people do it. Maybe some reporters do it, but I spend hours going through the list of things I want to see. It could be 3 days worth of work that is unbillable to anyone that I will spend going through lists and seeing products and people that I want to see and where they are, and I map it out. And then I even drill it down from there because I know it's so impossible. The show is in the convention center, adjoining hotels, other satellite hotels, other suites, other outside, inside, driverless cars and parking lots, you know, a mile away. It is like, it's like going, trying to do Manhattan, every inch of it in a week. It's impossible.
I have a list in front of me of 65 booths that I want to see. And next thing I do is I then create a map so I can kind of put them together in the right areas so I can try and knock it out efficiently. But it's a monumental task. This takes me a couple of weeks to figure out the 65 booths or so that I can try to see them all. I like you, I spend a lot more time in the Venetian and Sands because I like the startup companies. I spend little time in the like Central Hall where the Samsungs and LGs are, which are spectacular. That's the stuff that gets all the TV coverage. But I'm more all about the smaller companies, the entrepreneurs, the startups. So I spend more time in that area of trying to find cool stuff. But it is so much work. And on top of that, you've got the show floor that's open. Then at night there are press events. Then if you'd like me, you're doing some, you know, Skype interviews with stations overnight. And then the thing starts up again. So there's very little time for sleeping, very little time for anything except, you know, walking the floor. It's so challenging and so exhausting that other than meeting Lois for breakfast, which is the highlight of my day, the rest of it is just run.
Yeah, it's really funny. People don't believe me, but, you know, I spend most of my time in the innovation areas. I go down to the basement of these convention centers, and I see all of the startups that are there on card tables. Maybe they have a tablecloth. Maybe they have some, you know, little cutouts of what their products are, and they have the product, and they're standing there waiting to speak to people. People don't realize that so many startups from so many countries around the world come there, and CES groups them in sections, and you walk past and these people are dying to speak to you, and they show you the most innovative things. You can't believe that these products are going to come to fruition. You can't wait to have it because you could use a lot of these products, and yet 99.9% of these companies don't get funded, and these products don't come to the marketplace. But yet I've seen it all. I have walked. I love when I bump into someone that I know, like I know Jonathan Takeoff of, you know, he works in Philadelphia. He's a very, very well-known tech writer. He's worked for Philadelphia Daily News and Philadelphia.com and Philadelphia Inquirer, and now he's doing major stuff. And when I bumped into him, we kind of like, well, I looked at him and I was hoping he would look at me at the same way, like, oh, you really do work the show. Because it has so many glorious things to see, you know, in all these booths and to meet people of all kinds. It's really a one-time sensation. And how you do it, Steve, is amazing because you've got a limited amount of time and you've got to catch the best of the best to take on your ground tours around the United States, to, you know, show on the Today Show, to show on Dr. Oz. It's unbelievable how you do it. I never quite can figure out how you do it.
And here's the part that hurts. I know that when I'm walking to one booth or another, I'm probably passing possibly a couple of beautiful gems that I'll never see because there's a crowd in front of it, or I don't understand what it is when I'm seeing it, or I just plow through it because I'm trying to get as much done as possible. But meanwhile, it's like leaving gems behind that, you know, I'm not seeing. So there's this constant frustration of seeing cool things but wondering what I'm not seeing. And then there's entire halls like, the South Hall that I may never walk into. So I'm going to miss an entire hall maybe, which is, you know, very frustrating. That's thousands upon thousands of products and startups and whatnot that I'm not going to see because there's only so much time. It's unbelievable. And like I said, my feet, at the end of the day, I have to put them up. It's crazy. I mean, Fitbit goes crazy because you can do 25, 30,000 steps easily on a given day.
I love standing by and watching you approach a booth. And there's a lot of people around. How you nuzzle your way through. I just made up that word. I love making up words. And, you know, you get to the important people there and you explain who you are so you get their attention. And then I watch you trying to get them to distill the information quickly so you know whether it's worth staying there or not, you know, representing the Today Show, whether their product makes it or not based on your criteria. And I just crack up because it's like Groundhog's Day. I feel like I'm watching the same people thrilled to see you, then really try to grab you by the neck, use us, and like you letting them know, is this a possibility or isn't this a possibility?
I'm looking for this. I do a Today Show segment the following week right after CES, which is all about small startup companies, and so I am really, really looking for something I can put in on New York the next week. But I also can't spend a lot of time. So someone will start explaining something. It's like, uh-oh, if they can't give me the elevator pitch, I'm in trouble. I need to hear it, see if I'm interested, snap a picture of it, and move on to the next thing. If I can't move on, I'm freaking out. So yeah, it's really like, and I always tell people, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You got to pace yourself and just try and get through it. You got to get some food into you. You got to hydrate because it's like an athletic event. It's sort of like the Consumer Electronic Olympics for me. And the whole year long, I'm like, uh-oh, here it comes. It's getting closer. Oh, no, here it is. And then when it's over, it's like, oh, I got another, you know, 11 months before I have to worry about it again. But it is like a marathon. It's like doing
and
an unbelievable
marathon. People do not realize, the people that watch this, we were at a party the other night where somebody said to us, he's from Bologna, like, I look for you guys on TV. You know, they think like, you know, 20 people are coming to this convention and they're going to see you and me on the TV show that, you know, NBC may be covering the show. They don't know, like, we are like in the back rooms. We're upstairs, you know, at some of their suites. We are, you know, in the meeting rooms behind, like, the convention center, meeting with VIPs to hear what's going on. We're not, like, just standing there in the lobby waving as the camera crews come in. So it's really funny.
And it's, again, after the show floor closes and there are press events at night. So now you've got another event with with thousands of people jamming in there, more booths to look at, and then the next day the same thing again, the next day the same thing again. And then overnight you've got, you know, you might be talking to other stations that way. And then, I mean, it's just such a exhausting event. I mean, it's fun on some level. I mean, the adrenaline is pumping a lot of the times, but it's also mind-bogglingly exhausting. So I'm both some slightly looking forward to it, but more than that, there's also that feeling of dread, like, am I up to it again this year? Because it does seem like a mountain that can't be climbed every year, but I keep climbing it.
Yeah. Now, also, we should tell people about what it's like going from, you know, exhibit hall to exhibit hall. Even like hotel, you know, I'm considering a hotel an exhibit hall. So it's bedlam because the traffic is like you're getting stuck in the middle of Times Square in a car when everybody's in the streets and the ball is coming down. You can't even get from a hotel to the convention center. What could take you probably 2 minutes in a cab or an Uber or a Lyft now takes you a half hour because it's creeping along, and you have to use that time, to your advantage, you know, looking things up so when you hit the hall, you know exactly where you have to go and what you have to do.
You have to keep in mind there are 200,000 visitors, and just the convention center is more than 15 miles of aisles. Then when you add the Hard Rock, the Venetian, the Sands, and all the other locations around town, it's probably another 10 miles. So you got 25 miles of aisles, and each of these miles is filled with every 7 or 8 feet, there's a different booth. It's mind-boggling, and it's so many people, and there's so little time. As I said, it's like a mountain you have to climb. It doesn't seem possible when you get there, and then you do the best you can. And at some point, you know, Lois, you always see me say, I throw my arms up and I say, okay, I did the best I could. I give up, you know, basta, enough already. I give up. So every year you have to get to that point because there's no way you can come close to seeing everything.
All right, so for this year, what do you think is going to be the hot categories?
That's a great question. I think this year we're going to see there's so many cool wearables. I mean, I think wearables are back. They were hot a couple of years ago. I think they're back. There's a bunch I want to see. Everything is home control stuff. And, of course, all voice control. You know, the whole Alexa thing has, like, taken off like a house on fire. So that's – I think you'll see a lot of that. But, honestly, there are a couple, like, sneaky little products that look kind of interesting too. You never know what's going to be the show darling. For 2 years in a row, I picked out the show darling. One was a fork that got a lot of attention. Dr. Oz did, and a bunch of other folks did it. Another time, a couple years ago, was a smart toothbrush. You never know what little product might just, like, you know, take over the show as far as everybody's talking about it. But
they were talking about it, but they never really came to the marketplace at any point.
Yeah, they honestly got huge press event when it first happened. Everybody was crazy about it. Then it really never followed through. So in both cases, not unbelievable products. So you never know what's going to actually strike a consumer.
Yes, and it's very true. A lot of the products that get a lot of press at CES are not the end result winners at all. It's a matter of the people marketing them, the execution, the money that's put behind it, the sales, the distribution. Everything comes into play.
And I can remember, like, we all remember this too. For a while, the big boys, the Samsungs, the LGs, they all wanted 3D TV at home to be a big thing. And they were forcing it down everybody's throat, 3D, 3D, 3D. And consumers pushed back and said, you know what? I don't want this. So, you know what? It's gone. Then it was curved TVs. They were forcing that down people's throats.
Right.
And consumers pushed back. So just because you have the money, the press, all that stuff behind you, and you put all that into it, it still doesn't promise success, because ultimately the consumer does the final voting, and they can push back and say, no, sorry, not going to spend that money for that feature. So,
okay, so how do you think the consumer is going to feel about augmented reality and virtual reality?
I don't know. I'm interested in seeing if they're going to embrace it in the way that the industry thinks they are, where you're going to do your home shopping and all that stuff through virtual glasses, and you're going to be looking around when you go through a store. It's going to be talking to you. You'll have, like, salespeople who pop out of these glasses. So as you're walking down the store in Bed Bath and Beyond or wherever it is, Walmart, a salesperson will virtually appear in front of you and help pitch an item to you. That might be highly desirable, or it might be super annoying, and we just don't want it. So I don't know where that'll go. I guess we'll have to see what consumers decide. But we're seeing those kinds of products are starting to pop up all over the place. So if you don't know what virtual reality is or augmented reality, get ready because it's coming to a store near you.
Okay, I think that's a wrap.
I agree. So once again, I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman.
And we have been Lying on the Beach. Take care.
Bye-bye.